We've got a special Sunday today. As you probably know, this week I was gone at annual conference, and so this is kind of the official lay supply Sunday of the South Georgia Conference. And in light of that, we've got Bob Riedel who's going to come and preach to us. Bob is our lay leader this year. He's doing a great job, and he's going to continue our series on Ruth that we started last week. So I can't wait to hear what God has put on Bob's heart as he preaches from Ruth. Let me say a quick prayer for him. God, I pray that you will prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, prepare our ears to hear your word today. God, I thank you for the words that you've given Bob, and I pray that you will give us the grace to respond to what you have told him. In your name I pray, amen.
Well, thank you, man. Thank you all for this great opportunity. I still feel a little funny standing up here. You know, normally I would just have a reading in my hands, be reading from Proverbs or something else like that. But this is the first time that I have an opportunity to preach to my family about something that's important to my heart. And that's the story of Ruth and what it means to us today. Last week, Matt introduced us to Ruth, you know, the Moabite, who followed her mother-in-law back to her native land of Bethlehem. And that because of all the men in the family died, and they had no one to support them whatsoever where they were. Of course, when they journeyed back to Bethlehem, there was no one there to support them either. But then the story of Ruth unfolds, the story of Ruth and Boaz, to see how Ruth, who was really a foreigner, you know, when she got there, she stood out. Perhaps her appearance was a little different, her language was different. And so she was there as really like a stranger in a strange land. But what brought her there in the first place? As Matt mentioned to us last week, she made a faithful commitment, a covenant with Naomi. In essence, what she said was, where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and most importantly, your God will be my God. She not only made a covenant with Naomi, she made a covenant with God. You know, since Ruth was married to a Judean, at one time she may have known some of the laws and rights that were afforded to the poor people and the widows of the time. One of them was the right to glean in the fields behind the reapers, you know, to avoid starvation. Now, you got a picture. Naomi and Ruth were in a situation where they had no support whatsoever, none. They had no family to rely upon. And Ruth took it on herself to go on out and glean behind the reapers in order to get enough grain to be able to sustain them and perhaps a little to sell on the side to provide for other provisions. You know, remember the society at this time was totally dominated by male patriarchy. That was it. If you didn't have a man in your life, a woman was without anything, any status whatsoever. We didn't have a social welfare system like we have today at all, you know, and she amounts to nothing, absolutely nothing. She lived at the mercy and kindness of others. Naomi was in that position, and Ruth was in that position now that she followed her. Ruth was going to do her best to provide for Naomi and herself out of the covenant faithfulness. The second chapter of the book of Ruth, we'll see how she begins to carry out this faithfulness through her own effort and through the goodness and kindness of Boaz, Naomi's kinsman. And next week, I'm sure Matt's going to continue with the story of her risky, in fact, kind of risque behavior in attracting more attention from Boaz. And in the following week, we should see this, how this all came to fruition and how there was a fulfillment of this covenant of redemption. Why is this story so important to us today? It actually shows us directions that we should go to function in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God here on earth that we live in, how to carry out our lives in response to his covenant love for us. He showers on us so much love every single day. How for us to say thank you through our actions for the gift of his son to us. And how to go about it with confidence and boldness. Confidence and boldness, because that is exactly what Ruth did. Our reading today comes from the second chapter of Ruth. Now Naomi had kinsmen on her husband's side, a prominent rich man of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain behind someone in whose sight I may find favor." She said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she went, and she came and gleaned in the field behind the reapers. As it happened, she came to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Just then Boaz came from Bethlehem. He said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." They answered, "And the Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, "To whom does this young woman belong?" "She is the Moabite who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the reapers." So she came until now, morning till noon, without resting even for a moment. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go glean in any other field or leave this one. Keep your eyes on the field that is being reaped and follow behind the women. I have ordered the young men not to bother you. If you get thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." Then she fell prostrate with her face to the ground and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me when I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. May the Lord reward you for your deeds, and may you have a full reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you came for refuge." Then she said, "May I continue to find favor in your sight, my lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, even though I am not one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some of this bread and dip your morsel in the sour wine." So she sat beside the reapers. He heaped up for her some parched grain. She ate until she was satisfied and had some left over. When she got up to glean, Boaz instructed the young men, "Let her glean even among the standing sheaves, and do not reproach her. You must pull out some handfuls for her from the bundles and leave them for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." This is the word of God for the people of God. Ruth and Naomi, you know, entered Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. So Ruth, in order to be able to provide, went out to the fields in the morning to provide, you know, the food for Naomi and herself. During the gleaning day, she happened into the field of Boaz. And she probably might have been other fields earlier, but she entered into the field of Boaz. Excuse me, Mike. Well, I guess I'll move over a little closer to the mic. Thanks for that, Barbara. Thank you. Now, you know, when she entered the Ruth of Boaz, should we suppose that she got there by accident? Or do you think she got there by the providence of God, the guidance of God, the God who she pledged to, "Your God will be my God"? Once Ruth entered the field of Boaz, instead of gleaning just behind the reapers, she boldly asked that lead servant, "Hey, let me gather from the sheaves that have already been reaped, there's going to be a lot more grain down at the bottom of those than there is if I just follow the reapers in the field. She's going way, way beyond, you know, what the Levitical law was going to offer her. You know, that slide on sheaves up here, this is a Van Gogh painting, by the way. When I was in 7th or 8th grade in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, I was walking in an autumn evening going to a school where they were having a junior achievement meeting. And I passed by the open doors of a full gospel church. And it was the very first time I ever heard that song, "Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves." Somehow that melody stuck with me that night and the whole next day. And I had this picture in my mind, a wrong picture, that was straightened out as I was sitting in the pew right here at Alpha a couple of years ago when Tom preached on bringing in the sheaves. You know, I thought sheaves was an archaic plural for the word sheep. So I had this picture from the time I was in eighth grade until I was like 72 or 73 years old, that song was about a shepherd leading the sheep back into the fold. Well, there, you know, just in an instant, my image changed from a shepherd to what we see here today about the people, you know, gleaning in the fields. Quite a shock to me. I got another shock out of this thing, too, when it came a little later on. You know, but even 15 years ago, Rosemary bought as a gift for us a pair of glasses, a pair of wine flutes. And they were Waterford, and they were labeled Prosperity. And around the glasses, there were standing sheaves of grain. Now, I never even thought of those as being sheaves until, you know, 2 years ago. We still use these glasses every New Year's Eve in order to be able to take out the old and bring in the new. But, you know, for the last 12 years of that time, we've been drinking grape juice out of there instead of wine. And a lot of you know why. For me, that's a totally different story. You know, back to the gleaners. Notice that Boaz indicated that there were both men and women working among the in the field. They efficiently worked together as a team, you know, with the men with their scythes and sickles, cutting the stalks down, and the women gathering the stalks and standing them up and tying them into sheaves so they could be easily transported to the threshing floor. We'll hear a lot about the threshing floor next week. The Levitical law, which Ruth may have known or may not have known, gave her the right to go behind the gleaners and to be able to pick up fallen heads of grain, as mentioned before. But remember, she boldly asked that she be able to pick up at the base of the sheaves, where there was a heck of a lot more. And Boaz did grant her that. Now, I'm not saying that the servant gave her that permission at all. He just reported to Boaz, hey, she asked that. And Boaz heard that and said, okay, we're going to let her do that. You know, just think about it. Ruth wasn't brash, but she was bold. She asked for something a little beyond what was available to her. But she did not necessarily ask for herself. She asked for Naomi as well, too, as part of her covenant faithfulness and promise to her. Now, Ruth caught Boaz's eyes, you know, when he arrived, because when he asked the servant, he didn't ask who she was. She asked to whom did Ruth belong? Because he knew that Ruth was not one of them. He was not one of his servants, not one of the people he hired, or not one of the people on the staff. He didn't know her, but he found out pretty doggone fast. Now, the head servant had already told Boaz, you know, she's the Moabite, the one that came back with Naomi, you know. And Boaz says, yeah, I know a little more than that. Because, you know, he mentioned to her about how good she was and how she was all the good things that she was doing for Naomi. And as a result of that, did he, out of the kindness of his heart, or was he led by God, or did God put the kindness in his heart in order to turn her from a poor gleaner that was following behind the reapers? Do you think she was the only gleaner in the fields that day? There were probably more poor people out there as well, too. But with God's grace, she fell under the eye of Boaz, and Boaz granted her that permission. You know, and he gave her a blessing, and that blessing says, have a full reward from the Lord. Let the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come from, place your refuge. You know, just think about how strong that is. Boaz telling this, Mike, you're getting in my way. I normally don't like to stand behind the pulpit. I normally would like to be out in front and moving back and forth, you know. I'm much more comfortable doing that. But today, because of this and my nervousness and everything else, the first time being in front of you, I have to rely upon my notes to a greater degree. And so I needed something to put the notes on. I look funny walking around there going like this and dropping everything. But I've looked funny before you before, and I'll look funny in front of you again in the future as well, too. You know, just I want to go back to that blessing. Have a full reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. I think that sets the tone for the whole story and what's going to unfold in the next couple of weeks as we go ahead. When it came time for mealtime, remember Boaz heaped up some parched grain for her, and she ate until she was satisfied. Parched grain. There's a good southern word, isn't it? Parched. When I think of parched, I think like my throat is right now. I am parched. You know, I am dry. But in this particular case, parched meant roasted. Roasted grain. You know, back in Warner Robins, when I retired from the Air Force in 1975, I owned a small sandwich shop. And a peanut vendor came by just about every day. You know, he had one of those baskets on his shoulder, something, a basket in front and a basket in the back. And I always bought a bag of peanuts at double his asking price. It was kind of like my good luck symbol. If you know the story of the criminal and Apple Annie in Pocketful of Miracles, you know, that was his good luck charm. And these peanuts were my good luck charm. A friend of mine was there having coffee with me one afternoon, and he said, I'd like a bag of boiled peanuts. And the vendor said to him, oh, Mr. O, I am so sorry. I normally have boiled and I normally have parched, but today all I have is parched. And I looked at him and I said, what kind? He said, parched. You call them roasted. I said, yeah, well, I've been asking for roasted peanuts now for a couple of years. Why didn't you tell me I was wrong? He said, you know, sir, I'd rather sell you peanuts than tell you you were wrong. That was a great lesson, a very good lesson, life lesson. I wish I would have remembered it before standing up here today talking to you about it. You know, so he took Ruth. Boaz took Ruth, this gleaner, and he turned her into a favored gleaner. And more than that, he brought her into his circle. Sit down with my people. And even after she was in the circle, he gave her special favors by letting her glean among the sheaves. Now, that's quite a transformation for a young woman in the space of one day. From being the poorest of the poor, not having connections with anyone, to being a favored person in the sight of Boaz. So really, when we look at this, what does it mean to us? We have the same ability if, with boldness and confidence, we can approach the Lord and ask for things, how to better do his will. You know, it comes to this. As Ruth loved Naomi, love one another as Jesus loves us. The message is simple, isn't it? The message is very clear. As Ruth loved Naomi, loved one another as Jesus loves us. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, give us the courage to boldly ask, with confidence, for the ability to love with a heart overflowing with your grace, so that we may represent you to those in need around us. Give us our daily bread in abundance. Let us share it with the less fortunate. And how convenient I can insert here, let us share it with the people in mission in Costa Rica today. As Ruth was present in the field, let us be present to carry out your will. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bob, for that word from the Lord. So go now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, being empowered to boldly and courageously love those around us, just as Ruth loved Naomi. Amen.